You're listening to A Senior Moment, the show for and about seniors. I'm Joanne Rideout. I'm your host. Every month we come to you on the air and talk about senior issues, a lot of health issues. Today we're going to be talking about open enrollment for Medicare Part D and related health plans. My guests today in the studio are my regular co-hosts, Michelle Lewis from Northwest Senior and Disability Services and Doug Schaefer from the Olympic Area Agency on Aging. Hi.
Hi.
I'm really glad you're both here to explain this because I don't understand it, even though we've been talking about this for, 10 years on the air? So it's an open enrollment period relating to Medicare, and I thought we would start by talking about Medicare enrollment overall because I have a personal interest in this. Next year, I think I'm going to have to sign up for Medicare.
So, at least Part A, yes.
Yeah, and so let's just talk a little bit about that. A person is getting up to that threshold of 65. When do they need to enroll in Medicare? Maybe, Michelle, can you start us off?
Sure. So when you're getting up to Medicare age and you think you're going to go that direction, then we call it the seven-month hug. It's the 3 months prior to your birthday month, the month of your birthday, and then 3 months afterwards. That's your basic enrollment period. So that's when you should be seeing your cards in the mail from and if you don't see your cards in the mail, you could, if you're working, for instance, and not getting Social Security, you may not get your card in the mail. You need to go alert Social Security that you want to sign up. It's real easily missed at that point if you're working. So, but you need to get your card at that point and then start looking at your options, start reading all that Medicare and You book that comes in the mail that we forget about reading, attend the classes, whatever information you can get, because you need to understand your options, what basic coverage is and what options are available to you. And there are penalties and enrollment windows to be considered all the way through.
Okay, so that the whole idea of letting Social Security know that you're enrolling, why do you have to do that?
If you are getting Social Security benefits, you'll get it automatically in the mail. And you have to also make sure you've got your address updated. If you've been moving around or you're a snowbird, you need to make sure that Social Security has the most current address for you. And then it should just come in the mail. You'll get your card that says Part A, Part B. You get an option to opt out of Part B if you want to. So if you're working and you don't need Part B, you have your health insurance through your work, you can opt out of Part B at that point. Otherwise, you'll just automatically go in Part A, Part B, and then you will have 3 months afterwards to get your options in order. Yeah, I think that's it.
Okay. So, Doug, let me ask you, can you explain what is Part A and what is Part B?
Part A is basically hospital. And Part B would be like the practitioner's office, outpatient surgery, which is getting more and more and more common. Things you used to go in the hospital for a week to take care of, they'll do outpatient, and you're in and out the same day. So Part B is for the office visits, the clinic things, the outpatient stuff, what we usually think of as, you know, going to the doctor and that kind of stuff for our tests and so on.
So we have a situation here. We talked a little bit about this before the show, and I wanted to kind of clarify it for people, that a person may turn 65 and sign up for Part A, but maybe elect to not sign up for Part B right away. So let's talk about why someone would decline to sign up for B and what the advantages are to signing up or not signing up. Maybe Michelle, can you talk
sure.
about that?
So if you're working and you already have insurance, you don't necessarily need your Part B. So that's a choice you have to make at that point. So if your insurance is affordable, you like the coverage you have, and your prescription drugs are comparable to a Part D prescription drug plan, you may just choose just to have Part A is not going to cost you anything anyway, the hospital coverage, but Part B is going to cost you something. Right now it's like $121.80 a month. So you don't, it's not going to do you much good if you're going to be using your employer insurance. And it starts the clock ticking when you start getting your Part B. It starts the clock ticking on some of the benefit periods. Like if you want a Medigap supplement plan, you only have 6 months from the time you get your Part B to get something they call a guaranteed enrollment period, where the provider has to insure you no matter what your health status is. After that, then medical underwriting comes into place, and they can either deny you or charge you more because of your health status. So if you need that guaranteed enrollment period, you really want to be careful about when you start your Part B. And so, and truthfully, why would you pay for it if you're not going to use it? Mm-hmm. So I have met several people who have worked for quite a long time after they're 65 and have been paying that Part B for a long time and thinking they're doing the right thing because they're getting all the coverage that they think is extra coverage. It doesn't really work that way.
And so then you can defer the Part B and just sign up for it later on. Does it matter how long you defer it? Is there a limit to deferring it?
Until you lose your coverage.
Then
you're
going
to get a certain amount of time to get that coverage.
I see.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And they usually your employer will also be sending out a letter if you had been eligible. Same with Part D. If you've got comparable coverage, then the employer should be sending out a notice that says you have coverage that's comparable to Medicare Part B or Medicare Part D. So that's your proof that you don't have to. If they try to penalize you, you've got that documentation that, no, I already had that coverage. Yeah.
That's particularly important on that Part D. That's the golden letter, because you'll get penalized if you didn't have a prescription drug plan that was comparable to Part D.
Right.
Okay. So now we come to, there's a Part C. What is Part C? Maybe, Doug, can you explain that?
Well, you picked the wrong one for Part C, since we don't have that in
Pacific
County.
Oh, you don't have that in Pacific County.
It's the Advantage Plan.
Oh, okay.
So I will let Michelle jump into that.
So we're sort of going through the alphabet here. We've got A and B. Now, what is Part C?
Okay, so A and B gives you your basic Medicare coverage. That is the government-sponsored program we have through Medicare. Everything beyond A and B are private insurance companies who would like to make some money and give you some benefits that could be helpful. And so at that point, you need to make some choices. One choice would be an Advantage plan. There's like an intersection there. At that point, you have to decide whether you want to go to an Advantage plan or you want to go to that Medigap supplement that we talked about. If you go the Advantage plan, those are HMOs and PPOs. They look a lot like employer insurance in that way, that you pay co-pays and co-insurances all the way through. They replace Medicare. They contract with Medicare to cover, to provide a policy to the Medicare beneficiaries. And Medicare pays them pretty well. Medicare pays them, the rumor is, somewhere between $800 and $1,000 a month per beneficiary to carry that policy. So then on top of that, a lot of them charge premiums, co-pays, and co-insurances. It's a package deal. You can have your health insurance, your Part D prescription drug plan. You can have other health things like Silver Sneaker Clubs, gym memberships, eyes, ears, and teeth coverage can be on there, which are not covered on basic Medicare. So it can all be put into one package, and incentives can be added to that package.
And that is, in effect, replaces Medicare.
Yes, it replaces Medicare. They become the primary insurer.
But do people pay for that, or do they just opt into it?
No, most of them you pay premiums for. Clatsop County just this last year got their first zero premium plan. So you can imagine if they're getting $800 to $1,000 a month per beneficiary, then it's possible for some plans to give you a zero premium plan.
I see.
Do
you still pay the $121.80 a month to Medicare?
Yes.
You do. So
yeah.
You could just maybe get additional benefits over and above what you would get under just plain Medicare and not pay anything extra? Is that what the point of it is?
Well, you're going to get I used to struggle with that a lot. Now I'm trying to understand. For an Advantage plan, one of the biggest Advantage plans, if you have A and B only, there's no roof. There's no ceiling. So you get in trouble, you're in the hospital. It doesn't matter how much it costs. You're going to usually pay a copay on top of that. So you're going to, anything comes under Part B while you have that medical situation coming up, you're going to pay about 20%. In the hospital, you're going to have some limits. You're going to pay at least $1,288. So along the way, it's going to get very expensive, and there's no limit. But with an Advantage plan, they do have a maximum out-of-pocket limit.
Oh, okay.
And so some of them are $3,400 and some of them are $6,700 that are in our county right now. And so at least you're protected that much. You know the bleeding stops there. That's how much
right,
it's going to cost.
I see. Okay.
But, and then some people like to have their benefits package. They don't want to think about, you know, having insurance plus a Part D plan. It's all under one. Mm. So there are some advantages to those Advantage plans.
Okay.
Also, if you have a zero premium plan, then and you've got your some dental in it and some eye stuff, that looks attractive to people mm-hmm. too. So they will lean toward the Advantage plan. And one other really big thing about Advantage plans is that they can't be operating in our area if they don't have doctors and providers who will take you.
Oh, okay.
So if you're having trouble finding a doctor that will take Medicare, these plans will help you find one.
Oh, okay. So now, but then there's something else called a supplemental plan. Now, what is that? Doug?
That's a private insurance plan that will pick up. It works with Medicaid. Let's keep that clear. We'll get really confused. Medicare.
Okay.
And it's, for example, Michelle talked about the 20% left after I go in the doctor and all my medical bills, and I'm still paying 20%. The supplemental will pick up what Medicare doesn't cover. So it's basically an insurance plan that will help pay those medical bills. And they can be very spendy, but for the most part, my mother-in-law and my wife both have supplemental plans, and their coverage is way better than mine through my job.
Mm-hmm.
So
my dad has that too. It's incredible.
Yeah, with the Part A, or the Part A, Part B, and then the supplemental plan, there's rarely any medical costs left.
Mm.
So you really have to kind of weigh out. And there are different plans. There are different categories, F plans and all these other ones. So it pays to sit down with somebody and talk to it and look at it and compare it. Because, like I said, you can pay in the same category. Let's call it the F plans, right?
Right.
You can pay twice as much from with one company as with another company, but they cover the same thing.
Yeah, you have
so
to look.
So you really have to look and make sure that you're comparing the same thing. Just remember that. Because I think in our mind we go, well, if it's a higher premium, it's a better plan.
Must be better, yeah.
No, it's the same plan. It's just a higher premium. Well, so they cover everything. We had, my mother-in-law had, quadruple bypass and I think the hip at the same time. Anyway, she was up in Portland quite a bit and then in rehab and all this stuff. And I think overall what we ended up paying was I think $100 because it was a medical transport thing that didn't get billed correctly or something. But that was the only cost. So
that's amazing. Yeah, similar thing with my dad. He had heart surgery and OHSU, you know, all the stuff. And I think they billed him like $12 or something
exactly.
that, you know, that wasn't covered. And that was so, I mean, that kind of a plan for a person who, you know, you have to sort of assess your risk, mm-hmm. how ill you think you might be. I guess it's hard to assess that. But he decided that he wanted the complete coverage. And it really is complete coverage.
It is.
It's
and
amazing.
You might hear the terms are used interchangeably, either supplemental or Medigap.
Mm, okay.
So the Medigap plan just means it's covering that gap that Medicare doesn't cover.
Okay. So then let's, let me just take a moment. We're about halfway through the show just to remind you that you are listening to A Senior Moment, the show for and about seniors. We talk about senior issues. Today we're talking about Medicare, and particularly we're going to get to that in just a minute, the Medicare Part D open enrollment period. So I'm Joanne Rideout. I'm here with you every month on the show with my co-hosts, Michelle Lewis from Northwest Senior and Disability Services. She's the Oregon piece. Doug Schaefer is with us also, the Olympic Area Agency on Aging, the Washington piece. The three of us are on this show every month talking about all these issues relating to seniors and senior health. So let's move on to the whole issue of Medicare Part D enrollment. Why don't we start with, we've gone through A, B, and C. What's Part D? Well, Doug, why don't I throw that to you since you've been doing the alphabet for us.
Part D is the prescription piece.
Okay.
A lot of people remember it as Part D, drugs. So, that's the part that helps pay for your prescriptions. It's required that you have it, again, unless you're working or have a plan that that already covers an Advantage plan or something like that, then as long as you have creditable coverage, then you don't have to sign up for it. If you don't have that, you do have to sign up for it. Now, again, it's a choice. You can decide not to, but there is a small penalty that accrues for every month that you don't sign up when you are eligible. It's like 1% of what the average premium is for that year, and it's
per month.
Per month.
Wow.
So okay. It's what, $35 roughly?
About $33.80, I think.
Okay, so that's the average premium. So it'd be 1% of that, but it would be each month.
Mm.
So if you waited a year, then it would be 12% of whatever that average is at that point.
Okay.
And all of that's added on to your existing premium.
I see. So after years, forever it could more. Really add up.
Forever more. It never goes away, exactly.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so then what does this – so there's an enrollment period. When does the enrollment period start, maybe, Michelle, and when does it end?
So it's October 15th to December 7th every year, and that is the time that you want to – by now you should have – you already have a plan. You should have been getting some things from your insurer already. And so you would have – if there's any kind of premium change – you may have a booklet that talks about the formulary, that the drugs that they're covering and what tier they're going to be in. That all should have been in the mail to you by now. Be careful, because there's probably a lot of other stuff that's coming in the mail,
yes.
too. So all the other companies out there are trying to vie for your business, too. And sometimes they're on mass mailings where, you know, they're not really even available in our area, but they're still hitting you at your doorstep. So be careful not to throw out your plans information. And then what you want to do is be able to compare that to what's available next year, or this next year in 2017, and decide whether you want to go to a new plan. And, you know, this isn't like your house insurance that you've had for 30 years and never changed, or your auto insurance that you're loyal to. In this Medicare arena, that's really not what it's about. It's really about good consumerism, that every year they change their plans and you need to be shopping to find the best plan for you.
Exactly.
So it's a different kind of mentality around insurance, and it's a hard one to get through to people, that you really have to check every year. You don't want to stay. And it's really kind of your duty, because if you don't, if nobody shops, then they will raise the prices, and we won't have good competition out there. So they put up a website called, it's Medicare.gov. It's the official website for Medicare. And on there, there's a plan finder. And you can walk through that, or have your kids walk through it. You put in your prescription drugs. It'll come up with the most cost-effective prescription drug plan for you. And you can also look for Advantage plans on that based on the prescription drugs. Because if you think about it, if you had an Advantage plan, you have to carry their Part D if you have an Advantage plan. You can't go buy a standalone prescription drug plan. So if you got a zero premium plan, for instance, and you're just thrilled about that, but there's a drug that costs you $200 a month, and
it
might not be worth it. So you can shop that way based on your prescription drug plan to make sure it's going to work for you. And it'll talk a little bit about the health benefits in there, too. It'll give you some information on that. So you can do that yourself on the computer, or family can help you with that. Or you can go to a Sheba counselor. In both of our counties, we have Sheba counselors that can do that for you. You bring them your prescription drug list, and they'll put it into that system, and they'll help you through that process. So, or you can call 1-800-MEDICARE, and they'll help you with that. And there's even some pharmacies that will help you with that. So it's important, though, every year that you do it.
Can you also compare the supplemental, the Medigap plans at Medicare.gov?
That's a little hard. No, you can't compare those online. That's kind of an ancient system that's been around since Medicare started. Mm-hmm. And so those are really, you either have to sign up directly with the company, or you have to go through a broker to get that of insurance. We have, on the Oregon side, we have a Sheba guide that lists all the supplements and what they quoted at the beginning of open enrollment. So they get a little outdated by this time of year, but it gives you an idea of which ones are running high and which ones are running low, and some of the basics about them. And it also gives you all the contact information.
So you would have to contact Sheba in order to find that out.
Come to our office, get a book.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay, great. Okay.
Same on our side. It's the same thing. You can just call our office, or you can come and get a book, or sit down with one of our Sheba folks that will go through the supplemental information, show you the different scales and what's available, And also, we do a we also do the Part D enrollment for people that either don't want to mess with the computer or they're not comfortable with it, don't have family for it. Our offices have developed a form that we can even do in the mail. We can send it to them. It has a place for to list your prescriptions. It has a place for your preferred pharmacy. And then it has a place for your income, because you can get a low-income subsidy, it's called, or extra help that will help pay for any of the co-payments or anything. And we can run it and send it out to the client. We can't recommend a company, but what we do is these are the top three that meet your needs and are least expensive, and then they have to contact the company and sign up.
Okay, so then that's the piece I wanted to make sure that people understood. So then once they figure out what they want to do, do they sign up through Medicare.gov, or do they have to go to the companies individually? Michelle, can you talk about that?
All of the above.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's real easy if you are using the computer. There's all sorts of opportunities to enroll. They have an enrollment button. You can just walk right through it, and it's pretty easy to do. But you can also call them directly, and they can sign you up that way, too. Either way works.
Okay, so then this is good. I'm sort of absorbing all this for looking at this for my dad now that we're in this enrollment, because he's got all the stuff, but I haven't really looked at it, so maybe I need to.
It's kind of painful to read through that stuff.
But I think it's really great to know that if somebody does feel really stymied by it, that they can get help. They really can contact your organizations and find out about that. So now this enrollment period happens every year. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
That's true.
And so every year during this window, you have this one time. What happens, Doug? What happens if you miss the window?
Well, again, if you don't sign up when you are eligible to sign up. We're not talking about Advantage plans at all here.
Right. Just
but for Part D, then there will be a penalty, and you'll have to wait for the next enrollment period. So you're going to guaranteed at least 12-month penalty. So, you know, unless you're not eligible, obviously, you can sign up at any time when you become eligible, but it's the open enrollment period where you renew or you sign up, and if you miss that window, there'll be a penalty. So.
Well, now, what about with, Michelle, let me ask you this. If, say, Medicare in general, somebody just spaces it out and doesn't sign up for Medicare within that 3 months before or after their birthday, what happens then?
It gets really ugly.
It does.
Oh. Really ugly.
Oh, dear.
So if you needed to sign up for Part B, so for instance, you didn't have employer insurance and you needed to sign up for Part B, and you missed your window to do that, so the 3 months after you are eligible for it, you're going to have to wait till the following January through March, I believe, to sign up. And it won't be effective until July.
Mm.
And there will be, for every 12 months you didn't have it and could have had it, there's a 10% penalty onto that you'll
goodness.
Pay forevermore. So it's pretty, and it happens. It happens, especially people who are working. And I met a gentleman that actually was, he thought he was covered. He'd had the telephone company he worked for had really good insurance. He thought everything was happening, but they were making changes at the same time. And so their insurance went away, and he didn't think he had to sign up right away. He missed his window.
Wow.
Because of all the confusion that was happening between the coverage he already had and this learning this Medicare stuff. He had to learn two things at one time and really couldn't put the pieces together. He missed his window. And so he'll be paying a penalty forevermore.
Oh, my gosh.
And didn't have any kind of coverage for over a year.
Mm.
So
make note of you folks who are approaching the age of 65 that remember when your birthday is and think 3 months ahead, 3 months after. That's the window when you have to sign up for Medicare.
Well, and then people don't get their social. It's really scary now because people don't get Social Security. So remember we said that if you have Social Security income, you're going to be automatically sent something. If your address is correct, you'll get sent something. But we don't get our Social Security now until we're like 66.
That's right.
And so that whole automated system is going to be very, very faulty. So you could be working right along and expecting it to happen, and it doesn't happen, or forgetting totally about it because you're not even going to be qualified for Social Security till 66.
Right.
But Medicare still started at 65. Mm. So you could totally miss those those windows.
Wow. Okay. Well, we are getting to the point in the show when we do contact information. So if you were driving, busy, just tuned in a couple minutes ago, don't remember anything we said, having
all
a senior moment, all of the above, you can call these folks and get or go to their website. And so that's we're going to let you know how to get the information that we just talked about on the show from another means. So, Michelle, how do we contact Northwest Senior Disability
Services? One of the things I'd like them to know about, though, too, is that we have five classes coming up.
Oh, good.
We have Medicare. It's called Get a Grasp on Medicare. The schedule will be in the newspaper shortly. It's in our office. You can call anytime and get that information. But it'll go all through the basics of Medicare and what the 2017 updates are and what's available in our area.
So we would contact you to find out the dates of that. Okay.
Yep. And it's a free class. And we have them probably every quarter all year long, but during the open enrollment, we really beef up on it. So the phone number is 503-861-4202. I'm sorry, 861-4200.
Okay.
And the website is nwsds.org.
Okay, Doug?
Our phone number for our Long Beach office is 642-3634. Our North County office in Raymond is 942-2177. And our website is 03A, and that's numerical 3, 03A.org.
Okay, and so you've been listening to A Senior Moment, the show all about seniors. I'm Joanne Rideout, your host, and I've been here in the studio today with Michelle Lewis. She's with Northwest Senior and Disability Services. That's the Oregon piece of what we're talking about. And Doug Schaefer, Olympic Area Agency on Aging, which is the Washington State piece of all this. And so we've been talking today about Medicare and Medicare Part D enrollment in particular, and what you need to remember as you're looking ahead to enrolling for these very important services. And these deadlines are important. And make sure that you remain informed and do the right thing for yourself or your loved ones. Thanks for listening to A Senior Moment. We'll see you next month.